Well, let's actually go through then and at least just go through a couple of these verses and note which the accented syllable is and how this is working. So verse 1, Vayehi. So the accent is under the is over the last syllable. It's the diamond over the hay, called a rabia, Vayehi. So I accent that last syllable. Achar. The accent there is that slash to the top left of the resh. Achar, so that's accented. Hadavarim, the accent is under the resh, just to the bottom left of the resh, pointing out that it's the rim, the last syllable. Ha'ele, now that one departs from the pattern because now the accent mark is over the aleph, so that's under, the accent is on the second last syllable. Ha'ele. Kerem, so the accent there is that S shape under to the bottom left of the kaf, and so that's accenting the ke. So this is a sigillate noun, kerem, not keram, kerem. And you don't need to pay attention really to what the syntactic value of that S shape is. It's a darga, category number 23, well down the list. But what it does point out to you is reminds you, oh yes, accent the, shows you which syllable to accent. And reminds you that it's the second last syllable there, accented to Karam.
When you say accent.
Which syllable you put the stress on as you say a word? Fayahi. Fayahi. Achar. Hadavarim. Ha'ele. Karam. Haya. Lunavot. Ha-Yisra'eli, Asher, Be-Yisra'el, Eitzel. So there, Eitzel, it's the second last syllable. And in counting which syllable to accent, we always count your way from the back of the word. And that's really true for any language.
So it's often the last sometimes.
It's usually the last syllable. So the standard is, it's the last syllable that is accented, and so any time what it's not is the exception. And that will happen for sigillate nouns, and will happen for words like vayomer and things like that.
So for palace, it's following the normal rule.
Yes,
hikal. But they mark there anyway? Because
yes, just because they mark every single word.
Oh,
every single word has an accent on it. Mm-hmm. Well, yes, this was, it gave the Masoretic scribes lots to do. And it also nowadays is then used for the cantors because they use it as sort of like a musical notation to show them how to chant the text. Don't know if you've heard any cantors chanting the Hebrew text and take a field trip to a synagogue.
Okay.
So Hekal, Achav, then Melek. So the accent's under the meh. So another sigillate noun, Shomron. Verse 2, Vayadaber, Achav, El Navot, Lemor, Tanali. Now, the Tanali, notice we've got that raised hyphen. That makes it, from an accentual point of view, all one word. So there's only one accent on that combination. So you'd pronounce that as Tanali. Just run it off. Well, once your Hebrew gets good enough to tackle it all as one word, you just run the whole thing on Tanali, accent on the li. Tanali et karmakha. So et karmakha, similar sort of thing. We've got the accent over the ka. Vihi li, same thing. Legat yarach. accent over the resh, ki, hu, karov, eitzel, so eitzel again, accent under the, for the first syllable, or the second last syllable, really. Beti, v'etana, lakha, taktaiv, kerem, another sigilet, accent under the ke, tov, mimenu. So mimenu, there are the accents under the second last syllable, the me, or the men. Im tov be'enecha. And I don't recall there being a T-shaped vowel that we read as a short O, not in this passage. But when we get to one, I will, in our future reading, I'll point it out for you. Okay.
In the beginning, third line,
the vihili or the karmaka?
The vihili. Vihili. Vihi and li both seem to have accents.
Right, there's what looks like a suluk under that, except that suluk only occurs at the end of a word. The little stroke under the. And et karmaka has that as well. So it is called a meteg. It's not, strictly speaking, it's not one of the main accents, so it's not on the main list. It indicates a secondary stress, or most often the meteg indicates a secondary stress in the word. But may also be used to indicate that the vowel should be fully pronounced and the pronunciation of the syllable should be slowed down. Now, in those cases, it is actually worth paying attention to. I don't think we have one of those in this text. But sometimes there'll be ambiguity. This word. There is ambiguity as to how one pronounces that. The accent is going to be on this syllable. And whatever sort of accent it is, depends where it is in the sentence as to precisely what accent it's going to be. But that's going to be the accented syllable. So do we pronounce that as okla or akala? And actually, in this case, that would mean two different things because both of those would be valid words. And this meteg, if we just have the accent here, this becomes a closed, unaccented syllable. There's no accent on it. So this would be pronounced as okla. If, however, so we've got our accent still on the last word, we now add in this meteg here as a vertical line. Now we've got, it's a secondary accent, but now that makes this an accented syllable, even though it's, strictly speaking, it's not one of the accent systems, it's a secondary level of them. And this now it's no longer an unaccented syllable. It's now an accented syllable, which makes that a long A, which then makes this a vocal shava, and this then becomes A. That macron over the A indicates a long vowel. K, that cup indicates a very short shava. And then La. Akala. So that's the one instance where it is actually helpful, and it's going to be with the comets, and it indicates a secondary stress, but it makes it then an accented syllable, and means that you have to take that as a long vowel. That can be helpful. Meteg. Meteg. And then the other question asked was the vertical line that separates words. And that is the pasek. Pasek is vertical stroke which separates two words, although not properly an accent, hence it doesn't appear on this list. It is related to the accentual system in that it signifies that a pause should be made in the reading. Pasek means divider. And that it may affect the accentuation and or the pointing of the second word. in addition, Pasaic may interact with certain accent marks, so the two in combination are treated as a distinct accent, and that's true for number 18 on the list, the Lagarma. Muna cum Pasaic ante Rabia. A Munach with a Pasaic in front of a Rabia. This, at this point, this is getting well beyond anything you need to know at this stage in Hebrew, right? But by the time you then get to be reading that straight out of the Hebrew Bible and get onto that, which will be sort of next year we'll get to do that, then you can become more familiar with these. And there's a guide here, simplified guide to what all the marks are in the text. Okay. Let me quickly finish off this chapter lesson, run just a couple more minutes. Turn to the next page. Teacher should be able to get the class to stand, move, and so on. Should be able to... the words we have here, kum, so these are imperatives. Kum, get up. Lake, go. Tse, go out, from yatsa, to go out. Tse, the imperative. Shuv, come back, return. Bo is enter. And shave is sit down. So you have to distinguish between shuv and shave. Shave is from yashav, to sit down. So it's lost the first yod. Or then the appropriate feminine forms, which would be kumi, lachi, and so on. Then we've got eat, drink, and so on. Iklu, eat. So that's now masculine plural. Iklu. Shtu, masculine plural again, drink. Tenna li, give to me, be masculine singular. Tanina li, give to me, feminine singular. And then toda. Toda is thanks. When a person enters a room, the rest of the class can say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. It's actually out of Psalm 118. Or for a woman, Barucha haba'a b'shem Adonai. So haba'a, Barucha, that's now feminine, haba'a, feminine. Then they may be asked if all is well, Hashalom lecha. So notice the interrogative, hey, is it peace, is it shalom to you, or does shalom belong to you? And shalom means much more than our word peace. It just means a whole sense of well-being. Or hashalom lach for a woman. To which the proper response is shalom. That's how you simply reply. When someone is going, the usual way to say goodbye is lehit ra'ot. Lehit ra'ot. Which means something like to seeing one another. So it's see. It's very similar to see you. It's the equivalent of that. Or the French au revoir means very the same thing. Or you would say, Lake b'shalom, go in peace, or Lake l'shalom. To a group, you could say, Berkat Adonai Alechem, the blessing of the Lord be to you. Berkat is the construct of barakah, blessing. And then if you greet your friends in a moment of excitement with, give me five or give me ten, try Tetli Chamesh. I've never heard anybody say that. Tetli Eser. I think he has that just because he's introducing the next lesson, which is about the numbers. I've never heard a Hebrew speaker say that. And then when you see somebody doing something, wish them success. But Hatzlacha. Zalach is to be successful. Okay, so the ones that are helpful there are the Hashalom Lecha, is it well with you? To which you say Shalom, and then you can say Lehit Ra'ot. And there's a little Hebrew song that goes Lehit Ra'ot, Shalom, Shalom, Lehit Ra'ot. That's the end of lesson 10. So next week we'll tackle lesson 11, learn about the numbers.